We'll go back to the book of James tonight. If you will turn to that portion of scripture. If anyone here is committing yourself to the reading project I mentioned, reading James during these 3 nights, 5 times. Isn't that what I said? 5 times, 25 chapters. Debbie and I have got a little gift. It's nothing expensive. We had a Christian printer in our area make them up for us. It's called a Bible portion. It's the book of James. Of course, King James Version with some sparse, very little notes that I sort of, a little introductory page and a challenge to memorize some verses. Love to give you one to get those 25 chapters read. Amen. I'm telling you, the Word of God's powerful. Yes, life-changing. Yes. James chapter 3. Thank you for your prayers concerning the funeral. We got to spend a little time with my brother, lost his wife Sunday. Yesterday we drove down. They live just south of Columbia, South Carolina. And then, of course, today for the funeral. We like to have gotten some of that Charlotte traffic coming home, and that delayed us a little bit. But God got us through, and I thank Him for that. You probably shuddered when I said James chapter 3. If you've read it much, I'm pretty sure you would have. And I prayed about this. I might be fixing to make a grave mistake preaching the verses that I feel like God would have me attempt tonight. I realize at Burke County Camp Meeting, I'm talking to some folks that love God. I'm probably talking to a crowd of people who are far above average, spiritually speaking. Of course, far above average may not be saying a lot anymore. Y'all know the truth. And I'm not questioning anybody's relationship with the Lord, but you'll understand, I got to be faithful to the Holy Spirit as He leads me. What I am going to ask is that nobody here, as soon as I give the text and we look at a little bit of it, that nobody here say, I don't need that one. I hope he gets them told. Maybe tomorrow night will be applicable in my life. I'm going to make an announcement, and I ain't even read it. We all need this one. We all need this one. That's true of any part of the Word of God. James doesn't say a lot about church leadership. Nowhere near what Paul does. Preacher, I can only find 2 times that he mentions those that are guiding us at church. We'd say pastors. James doesn't use the word. And one of those times is in tonight's text. Let me say this. I'll need 2 or 3 amens. You've read it enough. If not, since last night, you've read enough in your Christian. James hates hypocrisy. He don't like a hypocrite. And James, that boy didn't ever take no psychology. He doesn't know how to calm things down. He went to his pulpit one Sunday morning. All James is sermons preached by this man of God. He looked at him and said, y'all are much too friendly with the world. That could be spoken in a lot of churches today. He said there's some friendship with the world going on around here. Then he said something that gets you run off anymore. He said to his church, you adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know friendship with this world is hatred, is enmity against Almighty God? That's the kind of preacher he is. Another Sunday, another text. Cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hearts. And he rips into another tirade about not living what we profess for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think he called them double-minded. That's James. And James is of the opinion that our talk ought to match our walk in everyday life. And here's what 27 of us here tonight, and I'm not really capable of explaining. He starts at the top. He starts with the preachers and works his way through the whole congregation. Y'all got it figured out by now. He's going to talk about the tongue. The tongue. And I'll be wasting my time tonight. If you've already decided, I don't need any help on my tongue. I'll make an announcement. You do. You do. I'm fixing to read a verse that says there's not a one of us that can control our tongues like we ought to. Y'all all right? Are y'all going to be all right if I stay in the Word? James chapter 3, and I'll not read the verses consecutive. About 50 of you ready to pop up, and I appreciate that. I want to reverence the Word of God, but I'm not going to read it all at once. He talks about the tongue for 12 verses. I doubt I'll get all 12 verses in. I'll just tell you what, studying this thing, the first four skint my hide. Verse 1, chapter 3, my brethren. Now, I'm not going to re-preach that. That's how it started last night. I do need to tell you this. That's James' favorite name for his church members, for the family of God, my brethren. I counted up 15 times in 5 chapters. He talks to the brethren. I'll make an announcement. Aren't you glad we're all kin here tonight? Amen. Brothers and my brethren, be not many masters. And that's strange. But the verb be, it's an imperative mood verb. Be not many masters. The word masters, let me give it to you. The Greek is didaskalia, masters. What does it mean? The word there for masters is our word teachers. Now, I probably won't get no help here, but here goes. James just said everybody can't be a teacher. Some folks at church are better teachers than other folks. I'm going to go out and say, I think God gifts some people to teach His Word. I'm going to say something else. Thank God for them. Hallelujah. Brethren, be not many masters. Don't all of you try to be a teacher. Hey, you can smile at me. You ever heard of too many chiefs? And not enough Indians? Everybody can't be a teacher. Amen. Wouldn't we be in a fix tonight if all 27 of us that are called to pray, if all 27 of us tried to get up there? Yeah. Amen. Everybody can't preach tonight. Amen. That's right. I don't even know how I ended up having the honor of standing up there. Everybody can't do it. Oh, I'll just throw this out. I'm just lobbing little thoughts. They ain't room but for one pastor down at that church you attend. One's enough. Be not many masters, knowing, and the word means understanding, perceiving, knowing that we, James includes himself, he's a teacher, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation. The word for condemnation is a word that means judgment. Those at the top will be judged. I don't think I'll get any amens, but it's what James is saying. Those at the top will be judged by a higher standard. Everybody better not try to be a teacher, knowing we'll receive the greater, the heavier condemnation. These 12 verses talking about our words, our vocabulary, our tongue. James starts out by saying, you men of God, you teachers, those of you who teach that adult or that young people Sunday school class, of all people who guard their words, you ought to, I need an amen, you ought to be the leader. So none of us is off the hook. Verse 2. For in many things we offend all. That's a hard thing right there to get folks to admit anymore. The little word offend, it's the word, it means to fall. But preacher, it means to stumble and fall. In many things, I won't get no amens. In many things we stumble. Anybody here that's ever stumbled? Spiritually. We have and we do. And I appreciate the way you look at me. I just want you to be honest with your looks. We ain't as far along as we think we are, folks. In many things, we stumble. All, I'm back in verse 2. But if any man offend, stumble not in word. The same is a, what does it say in your Bible? The same is a perfect man. If you never stumble in word, perfect is that teleos word from last night. If you never offend in your word, same as a perfect man. You have reached the place, that line of spiritual maturity. Now those are very sparse amens right there. That's probably because we don't know anybody who does not stumble with their words. Are y'all all right? Still in verse 2, and I must commit myself to, if you don't offend in word, you're a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. He just said, if you can control your tongue, you can control it all. Does anybody believe James is right in his assessment? He's implying if I can control my tongue, I can probably get to Sunday school every week. Amens are a little harder to come by tonight for some reason. If I could control my tongue, I might be able to control my appetite. Are y'all still out there? I might be able to control other cravings if I can control my tongue. Curb my tongue. It's already going on, I'm afraid. Somebody's passing this on back. That's not for me. It is. It's for me. It's for you. Verse 3. Behold, that is a verb. It is a command. It means look. If we were in Hebrew, behold is an exclamation, an interjection. Not in Greek. Look. Don't miss it. Behold, and James is going to illustrate here. And I don't want to just emptily run through these illustrations. There is a truth behind his illustration. Let's try to pick up on it or some of it. We put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Now, I don't know anything about horses. But I do know you bridle them. And I do know there's a piece of metal, a piece of iron that goes in their mouth. And I do know a horse is a pretty big animal. And I do know the rider, if that bit's in that, the rider can control that little bit of rider. He can control the direction in which that big animal goes. Amen. That's the illustration. Amen. Well, Preacher Bagwell, I don't get it. I think it's something along this line. That tongue is a little member of your body. And James might be hinting that that little member of my body can control my whole direction of life. Everywhere I go, looks like that's what he's saying. I know it's got to come from your heart. I know it's a matter of faith. But I remember a verse that says if you'll believe in your heart, God raised it, and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, am I right or wrong? Thou shalt be saved. The right confession heard in our words can control the direction in which we're going. All right. I want to try another approach to that. I'm not happy with myself. I want my horse to go that way. And this stubborn animal is determined to go that way. All I got to do, am I right or wrong, is pull on that bit a little harder. Giddy up and get that animal moving and he won't go. It hurts too much to go that way. They get to grumbling and griping at your church over something. Ain't no big thing. It's just little, but it's getting bigger by the day. Your tongue will be invited to get in on the issue. You make up your mind. You can grumble and gripe and complain. Head toward that crowd. Or you can put your foot. You can grab the reins of your life. The bit of your body. And you can say, I'll not grumble. I'll not complain. He's a man of God. I'll love him and stand with him. And I'll promise you this. That'll direct whether they're going to hang around with you or not. That much at least is involved in that illustration. Are y'all okay? Verse, is it 4 already? Yeah, it is. Behold the ships, which though they be big, they're great. And they can get in some storms. They can be driven of fierce winds. Yet they're turned about with a very small, what's that word? Tell me. It means rudder. A very small hem whithersoever the governor listeth. Hold that for me. Big boat. Doesn't have a steam engine. Not diesel, nuclear, I never heard of. Powered by the winds, gets in a storm, Things begin to go badly. I mean, the devil's fighting from every angle. Says you can use your helm, you can use your rudder, you can use your tongue, and you can control the direction in which your life is going to sail. Are y'all all right? Oh, I'm thinking of something Solomon said in Proverbs. Listen up. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There's been many a Christian whose testimony has been killed, ruined, butchered by some loose tongue somewhere. But there's not only death in the power of the tongue. Hallelujah. There can be life in the power of that. Next time they're attacking your church, why don't you batten down the hatches? Why don't you grab the steering wheel of your life and make up your mind you're going to encourage, you're going to be upbeat, you're going to edify, you're not going to kill with that tongue. Oh, I know. You say, when I preach here, every now and then I do say something. But it's always the truth. I check it out and I don't repeat it unless it's the truth. I don't know if you don't agree with me or not. Some things that you ought not to repeat anyway. Amen. The other day I heard this definition of slander. Telling the truth with the desire to hurt. Telling the truth with the desire. Have you heard the latest on preacher so-and-so? Have you heard the latest on that Sunday school teacher? I'm telling you, I know it happened. I've done talked to 3 eyewitnesses. I got 4 words. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Don't slander. If you need to deal with that issue, go to him. Go to her. Get in the living room. I'm going to need some amens. Get on your knees. Pray through. Try to help and encourage and restore to the glory of an Almighty. Gossip. Somebody said it's the national pastime of Baptists. Gossip. Here's a definition. Sharing private information with somebody that's not part of the problem or the solution. Well, that's worth writing down right there. Sharing private information with somebody that's not part of the problem or the solution. Are y'all still with me? Here's how we do it. Hey, have you heard the latest on her or him? Now, I wouldn't be telling you this, but I want you to make it a matter of prayer. They're not part of the problem. They're not part of the solution. You don't need to be going around telling it. I don't know what verse in James 3 I'm supposed to be in. I better get back there in a hurry. I'm just telling you, you're the pilot of the ship. And the way you turn it is the way it's going to go. Seem like Paul said something about using our words and our tongues, and I'll quote our good King James, for the use of edifying. What does that mean? For the use of edifying. Oh, that's a big word. Paul loves that word, edifying. You look it up. It means to build a house, to build up, to construct. I ought to use my words to encourage, to lift, to help my brothers and sisters in Christ and not to tear them down. Well, we'll go to the next verse. Five, I think it is. Even so, the tongue's a little member, but it boasteth, brags great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth.
Amen.
Little bit, little rudder, little fire.
Amen.
I'm gonna tell you something. Fires can get out of control in a hurry. A little fire. Preacher, I looked at that word kindleth. It has the little Greek name is hapto. It means to, hold it again some. It means that fire, it means to fasten on, to stick. You can't get it off. Words can burn. Words can be bitter. And words can be caustic. And words stick. I wish I knew how to explain that. Right now. Shouldn't be able to. I can remember words that were told me years ago about somebody. And they stuck. Like brimstone, like sulfur, can't get it off. Apart from God's amazing grace to help us forget some of that junk. It's a little fire. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. I'm going to go on with my verses. You say, preacher, I don't cuss. And I admire you. If you don't cuss, but I'm going to make an announcement. Some Baptists do. Some Baptists do. You say, preacher, you tell them old gossips and you tell them old slanders, all them. James is going to say in a few minutes, I'll probably never get there. Out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. Brethren, these things, wouldn't it be so? Don't let nobody know you did it. And if you come to the altar, get over on the corner of the side. But God could get a hold of somebody's heart, somebody's life tonight, and you could leave here saying, I'll not say a God being my helper. I'm going to need about three amens. I'll not say another cuss word the rest of my Christian experience. It'd be well worth coming for that. But it's not just cussing. Bitter, sharp, cutting words represent an ill use of the tongue also. The Greek word for bitter, and I really defined it in my sentence, is pikros. It means sharp. Cuts to the bone. Don't say something. Men, whenever husband in the house to hear my... Too many times we use those sharp, cutting, bitter words at home.
Amen.
Preacher, I'm not discouraged tonight. I'm encouraged.
Amen.
They're listening to me. I'm preaching to myself. I told you that when I started. Why is it our wife is the brunt of our ill temper, of our impatience, of our words that do not... Man, he's in the wrong chapter tonight. I don't know what got into that preacher. He's talking about husbands and their wives. That's important right there. Listen to Peter. He got the writing. Holy Ghost told him, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. That implies your wife is a little harder to get to know than you realize. You don't know as much about her as you think you do. I feel like I'm digging a hole here. It'll take you the rest of your married life to learn that girl, to know her feelings, to know the battles she fights. Dwell with your wives according to knowledge. I'm leading up to something about the tongue. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Honor. The word that is used there for honor, let her know that she carries weight with you. What she says is important to you. That she is significant. I need some amens right now. And then he says this, and be not bitter against them, listen up, King James, that your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers, don't be sharp, don't be antagonistic. Watch your mouth, your tongue. Don't be bitter. If you do, your prayers can. That word hindered, it's another verb, different, but tripped up, fall flat on their face. If you're not right with your wife in honor and respect, if your words aren't words of honor toward her, your prayers will be hindered, Peter said. I'm not just talking about cussing. I'm not just talking about dirty jokes. I'm not just talking about gossip and slander. I'm talking about unkind, sharp, bitter words wherever we aim them. It's six. Let's call it six. The tongues of fire. And I said that. I'm not going to. A world of iniquity. A world of iniquity. I need to look at something. The word that is used there for iniquity, it's interesting. It uses the word for rightness, and it puts an A in front of it. Like all millennial means they don't believe in it, no millennium. No rightness. No righteousness. A world of iniquity means that tongue says there's no right or wrong standard for my tongue. I'll say anything I please. Ain't no preacher gonna tell me how to talk. And James can forget it. They said to Isaiah, they're talking to God ultimately, who is Lord over us? Who can tell us what to say? As far as I'm concerned, he's Lord over us. He can tell us what to say. I'll decide what's right and what's it. You better listen to Brother Bagwell. I think you are. Most of you very intently. Somebody did tell us what's right and what's wrong and what. But the tongue by itself is a world of iniquity. I'll decide. I'll decide if I gossiped. I'll decide if it's private information or not. God help us to have a desire to control our tongues. Oh, wait a minute. It's a world of iniquity. I'm in six, struggling to get through. It sows the tongue in our members. It defiles the whole body. It defiles the whole body. The word that is used there for defile, it is the word to spot, to stain, to blemish. Somebody can have a wonderful Sunday school attendance record. They can sing a solo to match anything George Beverly Shea ever did. I mean, they've read their Bible through 12 times since they've been saved. But if their tongue is not under control, they have spotted their Christian testimony. That's what he says in that sixth verse. It defiles the whole body. It is set on fire of the... It is set on fire of the course of nature. Nature, who we are. What we are. The course of nature. The word there for course, I looked it up. Oh, Spiro Zodiates got a great book on James. He pointed it out to me. It means the circle, the wheel of nature. I don't know a lot about a wheel. I just know it goes round and round. It repeats revolution. Here's what James is saying. You let that tongue get loose. You let that thing habitually begin to gossip, run its mouth and slander. It'll become a habit. You'll do it on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You'll do it at work. You'll do it at church. You'll do it at the family reunion. It'll become circular, and that tongue will lose your testimony for you. Somebody's got to put the brakes on. Somebody's got to break the cycle of that. That's what James is going for. And preachers, 27 of you here, 28, Brother Scott came in. I just want to say something right now. It's got to start with us. It's got to start with us. I don't get to go to preachers' meetings anymore. The God's just been so good opening doors, keeping us. But the last preachers' meeting I remember going to, and I love preachers, they're my friends. There's a brother. And he's a good preacher. He's sitting there. We'd had preaching, have a break, a little bit of fellowship, go back and they'd preach some more. He said, I believe I've got the most gossiping church I have ever pastored. He said, them people have got the loosest tongues I have ever seen. He said, all they do, gab and run their mouths. Is anybody getting it yet? While he's telling about how bad they were, that thing of his was just a flapping. He was doing everything he accused them of doing. It starts with us. It starts with us. I'm having trouble keeping in my verses. Y'all pray for me. It's set on fire. Now surely James didn't say what it looks like's coming up here. Our tongues are set on fire of hell. Why, surely he's talking about a bootlegger, a prostitute, bank robber. You hear me? He's talking about the brethren there. He's talking about the brethren. Set on fire of hell. I looked up that word. Brother Blaine looked up that word, hell. You'll know it. It's the word Gehenna. Gehenna. Hell. It means hell. But what is Gehenna? And many, many of you know what Gehenna is. Boy, I'm glad you're there, buddy. Gehenna is down at, they tell me, the southeastern quadrant of Jerusalem. I'll tell you what Gehenna is. It's their garbage dump. That's where they take the dead dogs, men crucified, the dead carcasses, kitchen garbage. Animals up and down the street. They didn't have cars. Animals up and down the street. All of the refuse. Stinking, putrefying garbage dump. Gehenna. Hope y'all have had supper. The maggots down there never quit crawling. where the worm dieth not. Somebody lit it a fire one day, it burned weeks, months, and years. The fire is not quenched. Set on fire of hell. The Lord Jesus says, if we can't control that thing, just admit it. We got a stinking, putrid, rotten garbage dump down in our mouths. Hey, I'm thinking of Solomon again. Here's what he said. Even a fool, when he shutteth his lips, is counted wise. I'm going to run that by you again. Even a fool, when he shutteth his lips, is counted wise. I'm going to put that in everyday English. If we'd talk less, they wouldn't know how stupid we are. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Two ears and one mouth, that ought to say something right there, shouldn't it? James. Hey, this Solomon again. I'm back in Proverbs. I got to get out of Proverbs to get back to James 3. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Wanteth, old beautiful King James. In the multitude of words, there lacketh not sin. What in the world does that mean? Listen, I'll tell you. It says, the more you talk, the more you'll sin. Now, y'all didn't get that one at all. I'm back to the King James. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. You get a phone call that lasts 90 seconds, you're probably pretty safe. If you stay on that thing 27 minutes and 8 seconds, you're probably going to get in trouble before you get on. It's the nature of our tongues. Well, verse 7, let's try to. Every kind of beast and birds and serpents, things down in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed. But the tongue can no man tame. Does anybody here believe I'm reading the Word of God? The tongue can no man curb. No man can control. Well, preacher, your message is in vain tonight. You're batting your gun. Nobody can control their tongue. We're going to have to agree. Just set it right. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm pretty sure the Holy Ghost can control our tongue. Psalm 141, verse 3. And so many of you are taking notes. Or writing notes. I don't know what you're doing. I hope you're taking notes. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord. That word watch, a guard. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. God, would you put something right here watching every word I say? And every time my lips open, would you help me? Could I get an amen somewhere? Amen. Psalm 19, verse number 14. And I'm just going to quote the first clause. Let the words of my mouth, it's a prayer. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord of hosts. Amen. Lord, would you accept the words I say? Boy, that'd trim our talking up, yes, wouldn't it? No man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil. It's an unruly evil. I'm going to have to quit dealing with adjectives. The word there for unruly, akataeko. Echo means to have, to hold, to control something. Grabbing it. Ah means you can't hold it. You can't grab it. You can't control it. It's a wild bucking bronco. I'll need an amen. You got to put a bit in its mouth. That ship blown in the wind and the rudders getting it to port, our tongue controlling the direction of our, in the New Testament, in the early church, a ship is a picture, and it is so even in the Old Testament, a ship is a picture of a group of people heading somewhere. Now, how am I going to prove that? You talk to me if you want to. Ever heard of the old ship of Zion? She's battered. Hull's been beat up. But I got some good news. We're heading to the other shore and we're going to arrive safely. That ship's got a rudder. What you say with your tongue, your mouths will have a direct bearing on the direction your church is heading.
Amen.
I don't know if y'all are disagreeing or if it's just hitting you real hard. I can't figure that out yet. I say what we talk about has got a bearing on the direction our church goes. Some churches are sweet, harmonious, there's love. Some churches are like you stepped into a boxing ring and there's argument, there's bitterness, and there's fussing. Those churches are going in different directions. And the tongues of its people sometimes are the deciding factor. Well, I got to quit. Let me look again. I read this in a little science manual. You might want to Google it on your own. They say that in reality, a man's tongue is a little bit longer than a woman's tongue. That's just physiology. I'm not sure I believe that yet. I will do some more checking. Said the muscle that controls the tongue, said a man's is much stronger than a lady's. I need some men to back me up. It ain't just them. Heard a preacher say this, but Scott, don't take it. I'm illustrating. I don't have chapter. He said, in the church, the men generally lead the doctrinal direction. What we believe, the truth. But said the ladies, surely I'll get a little help here, determine the spirit of the church. The ladies determine the spirit of the church. What our men, what we men do with our tongues is important. What you ladies do with your tongues is important too. Down at God's house. Let me finish. It was 47 minutes the last time I walked up there, and I have to bring the message to a close. Oh, look here. Therewith bless we, I'm in 9. Therewith bless we God the Father, and curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. I want you to know, same tongue, blessing God and cursing men. Blessing God and cursing men. Let me give you a little perspective. Blessing God on Sunday. Oh, how I love Jesus. Cursing men on Thursday, running somebody down and stopping them in the ground.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, y'all agree that ought not to be so. Can the same fountain send forth the and can a fig tree bring forth olives or grapes? Our tongues are going to be I'll nail it down. Out of the heart, our mouth is speaking. Some of us need to get right with God tonight. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. That blessing God, it gives us the word like at the funeral day, eulogy. Here's what it means. E-U means good. Logi, it's a logos. To say something good, using your words, to say something good about God. I'm only a little help. About through. Some of you got through listening about 10 minutes ago, but I'm a little more say. Anybody here got something good about God you could say tonight? Well, everybody in the house got something good about God. Nothing wrong with the blessing God part. Cursing men. Now that word is not the, I don't know if I can even say it, the hell or the damn word. That's not cussing like that. The word is kata. That's how it began. Down. Talking down on them. Putting them down. I'll tell you what it is. I need about 8 amens here. Thinking you're better than they are. I'm going to look every one of you little boogers in the house tonight. I'm just going to scan this congregation, look at every one of you. There's not one of you in this house better than anybody else in this house. God is no respecter of persons. I've got no right to cut you down. If you're saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're going to the same heaven to which I'm going. You're washed in the same blood. You believe the same book. Hallelujah. Let's stop cussing. Let's stop down talking to each other. That's enough. I hope you followed my suggestion and didn't try to throw this off on somebody else. See, a good amen and I will quit. God help me with my tongue. Would you stand? Would you stand? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Common sense would tell you, ain't nobody gonna go to the altar on that one. But the Holy Spirit says, oh yes, oh yes, this is Burke County. Oh yes, God's got him some youngins here. Serious enough, sincere enough. Lord help me with my tongue. Our musicians will play. I wish a man or two or three just grit your teeth and ask God for some backbone. Walk down the aisle. Say, God, forgive me for being so sharp with the house. Lord, help me tame that old tongue. Help me not to be bitter. God bless you, man. My mate. Lord, I don't want my prayers to be hindered. Somebody ought to come tonight. I want to invite the ladies. The men are all over the place, and I love it. I want to invite them. Lord, help me use my tongue to make my church a sweet place. My Sunday school class, an ideal environment. God bless you, ladies, for hearing the word. Yes. Yes. Not trying to produce no big altar call, that's far the same from my mind. But I am interested in you obeying the Holy Spirit. Keenly interested. I wish two or three folks come down here and say, Lord, let me speak up for my preacher. If anybody, and you mark it down, it will happen. Anybody gets down on him, wants to cry, Lord, let me say something good about his ministry, his testimony. Somebody ought to ask God to forgive you for talking down, talking about some brother in Christ. My, it takes courage to do what you've done and are doing. Said this about Jesus. It's the 45th Psalm. Grace was poured into his lips. Y'all hear that? Grace was poured into his lips. Would to God some of us would get a fresh gallon of grace poured into our lips. What's the number, brother?
153.
153. You know the first verse, let's sing it together. Sing it as a witness. Sing it as an invitation. If you're here lost, he'll save you if you'll believe on him.